Miss Disney. Okay. All right. So we are learning this piece about the chait of Adam HaRishon. Let me just get to the page over here. And let me just recap a little bit of where we're up to and what we've accomplished so far so that we can... What Dessler is really doing is taking us into a deeper and deeper journey into this issue. So by all means, if you have questions, feel free to ask.
Do you have a book?
No, oh, it's nice. Oh, yeah. Okay. Please help yourself. Okay. Give me a moment. All right, we're on page 140. Okay, so what's happened so far is we're struggling with this idea of how did Adam come to commit the sin in the first place of eating from the tree of that. And he in, at the beginning he told us that Rav Dessler told us that there's a difference in the bechira, in the free will that Adam had before the chait and after the chait. So before the chait, before he sinned, the Yetzer Hara was external, was not part of his psychological makeup, and after he sinned, it became part of him to the point where now we identify with sin ourselves. You say, I want. Before that, the Yetzer Hara tell you want to eat that yummy, delicious, whatever it is, as opposed to now, it's I want it. And the Yetzer Tov that says, no, you shouldn't really do that. Okay? So we identify with the Yetzer Hara more than with the Yetzer Tov. But yes, if that's the case, before the Chait, how did he come to make such a mistake? If it was so external and the way he quoted the Nefesh HaChaim, or Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, who said that before the Chait he had free will as well, but the free will was free will like we had the free will to jump into a fire. It was very clear to him that something that's harmful, and the way he told us also in the name of the Rambam, that before the Chait, he viewed good and bad in terms of MS and Sheker, truth and falsehood. That which is bad is false. There's no substance to it. There's no meaning. It's emptiness. And he said there was clarity. Now we see it as tov v'ra, good and bad. But as if they're both options and pathways of substance. One is nice and one's not so nice. But they're both options and have substance to them. So again, how did he come to do that chait? So the last powerful point he made, and we're jumping into that, is that he said that Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, the only way the Yetzer Hara, the Nachash, the serpent, could get to him was by dressing up the sin in the costume of a mitzvah. How so? That Adam, it's hard to encapsulate this, but we'll do our best, is that what happened with the eating of the Eitz Hadas, eating from the tree, is that it brought confusion between good and bad. It didn't make it smarter. It's not the tree of wisdom. It's the tree of Tov and Ra becoming fused and confused with each other and mixed in with each other in a way that there's so much less clarity and there's so much more darkness. And it's really darkness that gives us the ability to have free will. And the darkness meaning the lack of clarity. If you see everything with complete clarity, you would not have free will. It's because Hashem hides himself. So we don't see him with clarity. So it's the Hester when Hashem is hidden that we that's what affords us free will. And in Adam's reality, there was a minimal amount of Hester. Minimal amount of darkness. Nevertheless, that was his reality. He was in Gan Eden. He had Malachim catering to his needs. It was a very spiritual reality, and he had this one mitzvah. And Adam thought to himself, if I eat from that tree, then I'll enter into a world of more darkness, which affords me a greater challenge. And if I overcome that greater challenge, then wouldn't that even be a greater Kiddush Hashem? In other words, I will reveal more of Hashem by overcoming even greater challenges. It's challenges that give meaning to what we do. Let me put myself into a state of being where I have a greater challenge by going into that world of darkness. So that was the chait. And this is where we're up to. So let's continue on page 140. Really, every word in this piece of Hadassah is important. Lazer, the bottom paragraph on page 140. Lazer Ramzin, Chazal? Okay. Lazer Ramzin Chazal, this is what Chazal are alluding to, the metek l'shonam in the sweetness of the language, when they explain the words of the serpent, when the serpent, the snake said, what did he say? He said, V'yisam kelokim yodei tov v'ra. Right? He says, Adam, Chava, eat from the tree, and you'll be like God, like Hashem, yodei tov v'ra, knowers of good and bad, good and evil. Right? Those were his words in the Torah. So Chazal expand on these words, and they say that what he was saying is, Me'ilan zeh. Now these words are very mysterious at first, but that's what will actually help make sense out of them. Me'ilan zeh ochal ubara olam. From this tree, what the serpent said was, from this tree, God ate and created the world. Vu omer lachem, and he's telling you, lo sochlu mimenu, don't eat from it, so tivra olam asachayim, so you do not create other worlds. Right? Very mysterious words, right? That the Nachash says, bottom paragraph of page 140, that the Nachash says, is saying that eat from the tree of knowledge, of knowing good and evil, that this is the tree that Hashem created the world from, and he's telling you not to eat from it because he is afraid, so to speak, that you shouldn't come to create other worlds on your own. That's the Medrash. That's the problem. So what does this mean? All right. The Chaim Rashi finds similar words in Rashi, quoting from Chazal, V'yisem kelokim, that the Nachash says you'll be like God. What does that mean? Yotzrei olamos. You'll be creators of worlds. These are very astonishing words. But here's the explanation. I think the whole thing is worthwhile if you can get some meaningful explanation in such words from the Nachash. So he has to take a step back because this is a subject unto itself. Yedua, it's known. Sh'inya bria sa'olam v'asiyas hester v'halamas l'or yizbarach. As we just said in our summary, the creation of the world is the creation of hester v'halamas, of the cloudiness, of the hiddenness, of the hiding of the light of Hashem. As he says, and he says parenthetically, it's well known that the word olam, which translates as world, perish halama, comes from the word halama, halu means to hide. Meaning to say, and even before we read on, and then we'll see the words in Rav Dessler, that as we said, you can't have an avoda. There's no challenge. Right? The only reason why there's meaning to anything that we do is because of the challenge. The challenge is free will. The challenge is that the Eitzotos is one way and the Eitzotos is the other way. The only way it's possible to have that challenge is to live in a world where we don't see true reality. We saw true reality, we see Hashem, Achad, Rishmo, Achad, there's only one, and there's nothing, there's just, either we don't even exist, or to the extent that we exist, of course we can do what Hashem tells us to do. It would be too much clarity. So Hashem takes a step back. So you have to look at the world, you have to look at creation as Hashem placing veils in front of himself. Veil upon veil upon veil. And our job is to pull those veils aside and to discover Hashem. Are you with me? You have to discover Hashem by becoming more spiritual, by becoming more connected to reality instead of living in the falseness of the illusions that surround us. Right? So that's what goes on to say. Kach gozar ha-chesed el-yim. This is what Hashem's chesed decrees. Kidei sheyuchal le-adam livchor ba'atzmo, that Hashem hides, so the man should be able to choose himself, to reveal the light in the darkness. And then there's meaning to what he does. If everything would be light, there'd be nothing for us to do. By okay? And through that, a person can achieve the ultimate reward of Olam Haba. Now, Hashem could have sent us straight to Olam Haba and skipped the whole Avoda process. However, Hashem wanted it to be B'liha Gashas Nama de Kisufa. Without feeling, Namda Kisufa is a term, Chal uses the term bread of shame. The bread of shame is the bread that you were handed for free, that you didn't work for. Now Hashem wanted our reward, our Olam Haba, to be one that we worked for, and the only way we can work for it is by overcoming challenges, and the only way we can be challenged is by having darkness. Okay?
I just feel like, how could Adam decide that he wants to?
Well, what was that? Hold on. Okay, let's hold on, Shane. I know where you're going, but hold on. All right. So shiabusha. So what is bread of shame? Shiabusha. That is a shame. Shemagishim bekabalas manas chinam. That is the busha, the shame that we feel when we receive a free gift. So that's a concept, a principle that we need to know. That the world creation is really the opposite of what we think. We think of creation as something positive. Really, creation is then created something negative. Creation was Hashem pulling back and hiding himself from reality and placing the illusions that gives the appearance that there's a world that exists on its own, that it has its independent existence, that you can enjoy it without having a relationship with him, all of those illusions, so that you can get past all of those illusions and come back to reality. All right? That's creation. So v'hainu, that's what the Medrash is putting into the mouth of the Nachash. Me'ilon ze achal bara olam. From this tree, Hashem ate and created the world. What does that mean? Ki yitziras ke'en ra, because the creation, what did Hashem do when he created the world? The creation of the world is creating darkness. It's creating ra. It's creating evil. L'tachlos hatov, for the purpose of good. Right? It's creating a world not evil, but for the potential of evil. The possibility of evil. The darkness that affords us the possibility of free will. Hashem created that for the ultimate good. Right? L'tachlos hatov. So halohi etzem in yibriyas olam, that is creation. Bringing more darkness, bringing darkness into the world is the definition of creation. Bringing darkness into reality, which is not bringing it in, but hiding so that there is darkness and creating confusion, that's the world. That is the act of creation. So therefore, Hashem did that. Hashem created a world, an olam, halama, a world by hiding himself and creating darkness to afford the possibility of good by overcoming that darkness. And therefore, the Nachash was saying, "V'miyamik ha'adam," or and got Adam to think, "V'miyamik ha'adam od as a hester." If man will delve further into the darkness, the kavanah tova with the good intentions of kiddush Hashem, knows of greater kiddush Hashem, ha'yir is a main bris olam. This that smacks of creation itself. It's because man is mimicking what Hashem did. Hashem created darkness to the ultimate tov, and now Adam is considering doing the same thing, bringing more darkness into his reality, more confusion, by eating from the Eitz Hadas for the ultimate good. The Chol Madregos Hanosafos, the Choshech V'Halama, the Torah Gili, any additional level of further darkness and hiding, Halama / Olam, world, creation, for the purpose of ultimately revealing and getting past that darkness, Hariyan Olam Asachim, those are the other worlds that the Nachash is alluding to. So the Nachash is saying, Hashem doesn't want you to, Hashem is afraid you're going to create other worlds just like he did. And others start thinking, well, maybe that's what I should really be doing. I should create others, Hashem created a world of darkness so that we can overcome the darkness and see and discover the light on our own. Let me create even more darkness, so more world, so to speak. And that's Olam HaSachirim, more worlds, more hiddenness, more realities of hiddenness of Hashem, hiding Hashem, by eating from the tree, and that will afford me the opportunity to have more challenges to overcome and to accomplish even more. Okay? And you still have your question. Okay. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But the question still remains, and he's still going to try a little bit harder to satisfy you, Jane, because she walked away and satisfied last week. Okay? Okay? But still, how could Adam fall into the trap with the clarity that he has? Okay? You should see for what it is. So he's going to try, he's going to take one more stab at it by taking this one step further. All right? But okay, so that's but we have this idea of creating Olam with other worlds. Go ahead.
Can you deal with sort of
Chava's
role in all of
this? No, we're not going to go. Yeah, okay. No, that's why you came here. I'm going to disappoint you. Yeah, I'm going to disappoint you. He does not separate Chava and Adam in this whole story. However, it happened to both of them together, even though it was sequential. Mm-hmm. This is what was going on.
Okay.
That's fine. No, it's a great question.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a whole other shir, which I don't have. Okay. All right. Amna machmas rom ma'aloso ta'a b'haracha. But because of, we're on top of 141 now, because of rom ma'aloso, Tishena's question is, when you think of Adam's high level before the chait, and Rav Dessler spent some time giving us insight or just a glimpse of the level Adam was on before the Chet. Now, Chazal tell us that even after his death, his heel is radiated. That means the lowest part of his reality radiated beyond the sun, and he stood from the ground to the heavens and took over and encompassed the whole world in terms of what he understood and what he grasped. How did Adam mess up? How could he fall into this trap? Okay. Amna machmasarom aloso. He says it's not despite Adam's high level, but because of his high level. Machmas rom aloso. Because of his high level, ta baharacha, he made a mistake in judgment. How so? All right, so I'm going to just kind of talk about it a little bit before we see his words. I'm really telling you what's coming up. And maybe elaborating on a little bit beyond what he says over here. But what Rav Zetzer elaborates on in other places. And then we'll see how he says it, because I think it's still worthwhile to see how he puts this. He says, let's talk about Malacha for a minute. All right? When Moshe came up to Har Sinai, the Gemara about this. Moshe came up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. The Malacha says, what's a human being doing here? Right? What Ma Yilud Isha Ben Ma Li Yilud Isha Ben Enu? What is this man born of a mother, of a woman? What's he doing here? So Hashem says he came to get the Torah. So the Malachim say, Torah to man? What is man that he's deserving of the Torah? So what was the claim? And then there's a whole debate back and forth between Moshe and the Malachim, and we know the end of the story. Moshe got the Torah, okay, for us. But what was that debate about? And what was the Malachim's issue that man should not be given the Torah? So the idea is as follows. The idea is that the Malachim don't have free will. They don't have free will. What does it mean they don't have free will? It's not that they don't have free will. It's because they have clarity. As we mentioned before, if you have clarity, you don't have free will. They don't have a body. They don't have clarity. So they don't have the confusion. So they have complete clarity. So this clarity, there's no free will, right? If you look at man from the perspective of one who doesn't have free will, man is crazy. Man does things that are wrong. How could you do things that are wrong? The mouth sees things as clarity. You have to be insane to do that. And not only do you have to be insane to do those bad things that you do, even if you don't do them, even if you overcome them, but you had a choice. Normal, from the mouth's perspective, that's a normal person should not consider that a choice. It's a choice, kind of like the Nefesh HaChayim said before. You're choosing between, should I jump into the fire or should I not? Let me think about it. Okay, is that something? If you have to think about that, and you have to struggle with overcoming the resistance or the temptation to jump into a fire, then you have issues. Whatever, that's something that has to be addressed. But so the Malachim see that the fact that man sins, or even the fact that man is willing to consider sin versus virtue, even if he opts for virtue, even if he opts for tov, that's all chil Hashem. Man's reality is filled with chil Hashem. It's an absurd, ridiculous, crazy life that does not recognize Hashem, doesn't respect Hashem and all of that. Now, the Malachi can't understand that. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. We're supposed to be confused because they can't relate to our reality of darkness. Because they don't live in that world of darkness. Now, lest you think this is only something that Malachim, the problem that only Malachim have, the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, Rav Zetzer does not stress this over here, but I think it's true, that this challenge, we all have that challenge. When we look at somebody on a level lower than us, or when somebody on a level higher than us looks at us. In other words, for us, you know, hopefully, Shabbos is, at this point in our lives, if it wasn't always, is a given, right? It's a given. So you look at somebody who doesn't have Shabbos, you say, well, I didn't necessarily look down on them. But you see, there's something pathetic about the fact that I have Shabbos in their life. And what do you mean it's hard to keep Shabbos? I can't live without Shabbos, right? So what does that mean? Or someone who, think of you know, like a gadol, like of Aaron Leib Steinman, who is so beyond temptations of food and money, it goes without saying, or Rav Chaim Kanievsky, whose whole life is Torah. And how does he look at somebody whose whole life is money? And Rudessa writes these words elsewhere, that anybody who's gotten past that and is above that, he looks at people like that and says, you guys are crazy. Kimishtagoyim. He says, this is a little crazy. It's an insanity that you're spending your whole life running after something you can't take with you that's destroying your life and is destroying your happiness. And all it does is create jealousy and conflict and heartache and heart attacks and blood pressure and all kinds of things. Stop it already, all right? So what's with? Is it crazy or is it not? It's not crazy to that person. But once you've gone beyond that, then you look at that and you can't relate to the struggle. Right? Rechai Kanevsky cannot relate to that struggle. He understands it intellectually that people struggle with that. I hope from Chaim Kanevsky's welcome if you're speaking for him. But it's clear to me that he doesn't struggle with that. It's not his struggle. Should I forget about my learning and should I instead go into business? All right? He's completely, you know, he has no shachas, no connection to the challenges that we have. He's complete disconnection from that. So it's not a struggle. So someone who does that, from his perspective, is acting in a very, very silly way that shows that he just the basic things he doesn't understand about what life is about, what values are about, relationship with Hashem is about, and what Torah is. So we are all like that. It's just, you know, just relative to the level below us. You say, okay, you know, that's crazy to do what you're doing, but we have our struggles. And relative to the one who's in a higher level than us, what we're doing is crazy, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's silly. So from the Malach's perspective, what man does is totally absurd, right? Because as you grow, what does it mean to grow? What growing means stripping away the veils and becoming more connected to reality. So growing means you have more clarity. If you have more clarity, then you look at somebody who doesn't have that clarity, and you see that he's somebody who doesn't have clarity, right? Doesn't have clarity. Okay, so with this in mind, Kodim Shiyada, top line, Kodim Shiyada, a few words into the line. Kodim Shiyada Esara, Lohi Yachol Etzayel Atzmo, before Adam became acquainted with Ra, with evil himself, after the Chet, he could not imagine that the state of being of knowing the Ra or becoming connected to Ra, the way the tree eating from the tree would bring about, would actually be darkness. He couldn't relate to that darkness. He thought it's a pseudo darkness, kind of darkness. Because on his very high level, he couldn't imagine if Shoris pure Gomami or Yisburach, the potential for complete detachment from the light of Hashem. Because the light of Hashem was so real to him. So real, he couldn't imagine being without it. Such a matzav, a situation where both Olu L'Adam, Lipo Mamish, B'Shu Sarach HaSasholam, that there should be a state of darkness that would make it possible for man to fall completely into the clutches of evil. The Koshi HaBechira B'Tov, the massive gazelle, to recognize the challenge of choosing good in that challenging situation, lo yachin, that challenge cannot be understood el mishikvar higush ba'atzmo, unless it's with somebody who already feels it himself, as an historian of chavaya mamashis, who feels a challenge as a reality in his life. Until, you know, think of an addict, okay? We should never be addicts. But until you're an addict, you can't really feel the challenge of what it's like to be an addict. What are you doing to yourself? You're killing yourself. How could you do that? Are you crazy? But we don't. If you're not an addict, then you don't know what it's like. So Adam says, until someone experiences that darkness of what it's like to be faced with the real challenge and a real Yetzirah, can't imagine it. Can't imagine it. Without the experience, it looks like the challenge should be easy to overcome. Just don't take that drink. Just don't swallow that pill. Just don't do that. Don't treat yourself up. Just don't do it. That's all. Just don't do it. And the person that's standing in the midst of it, Choshev L'Kal Das, thinks that the people who don't overcome those challenges that they're faced with are feather brains, the lightweights Oh, afla matur, for even disturbed, mentally deficient, because you're acting in a way that they see is insane. That's what the malachim think. Abnei Adam, about people, but Tanasam, when they argued to Moshe, to Hashem, Ma Adam Kisiskerenu, what is man that you be so remembered, so privileged to receive the Torah? Kibur Osa, because when they see, Shiesha Bnei Adam, Shemordim, when they see people rebelling against Hashem, or Achoshel Limrod, or even considering to rebel, Hashem is Baruch and Hashem, Harekim Shavigoyim Hibinei, they look at people like they're crazy. The Chi Tau, Shem Chazai ve Azael. This is a matter, we're not getting to that now. These few words. Because I didn't get a chance to look it up. But we have Chana Kezos, and for this reason, from this perspective, Istavava La'adam Arishon HaMachshava, this is because looking at things from his perspective, never having experienced what that struggle of darkness is, Istavava La'adam Arishon HaMachshava, that's where Adam Rishon, Istavava, La'adam Arishon HaMachshava, this Machshava, this thought evolved in his head. She'esra K'nisili Diaz Tovara, that the prohibition of entering into the world of Tov Ra by eating from the tree, it may be permissible, Lidchos, to set it aside, B'b'chinas Hara Asha, by defining it as a form of Hara Asha. Hara Asha means a temporary injunction that Chazal has given us, where this is a situation where you're supposed to do it, otherwise it would be Nevera. Sometimes, what otherwise Nevera, in this situation, may be mitzvah. So in his mind, he's able to rationalize that for himself. B'chinas Avera L'shma, in a way that would define it as another concept that we find, I think we mentioned this already, of doing Avera, but doing the Avera L'shma, L'shem Shemayim, for the sake of Hashem. L'harbos Achoshech, to increase the darkness, L'man Hagdola Sa'or, in order to make the light clear. Asher Zoi L'chor Avera L'shem Shemayim Mamash, seemingly this could be looked at as an Avera solely for the sake of Hashem. How bad can that be, right? So this is the best he's going to do, Shana. Okay, this is it. Okay.
Writing the rules to Hashem's game.
Yeah. So right. So. Okay. 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 So even Adam can rationalize things for himself, but he couldn't perceive how bad it is because he had never experienced it. Right. So there's something because of the greatness of his spiritual level, he could not understand how bad something bad can be.
But this is a matter
of rationalizing. Okay, so the answer. Yeah, so there was a Yetzirah, except it was external. But it's not a Yetzirah. So it wasn't a Yetzirah that got him to eat a cheeseburger. It was a Yetzirah that got him to think that he can have a better relationship, that he can do more for Hashem this way, and set aside this thing. Okay, but anyway, this is as far as it's going to go. Right? Okay, You can get your money back at the end of the class if you don't like it. Okay. The Alpha became, nevertheless, Neshalo Zelachit Chum. For him, this is considered to be a very serious thing. He taught about Shaftazos. He was making a mistake in this thinking process. Lo mitzvah gedol of a Rama, the Levushal Avera, he says those. This is not some great and exalted mitzvah wrapped in the costume of an Avera. Kemosha Chasev, like he thought, Ella rather was Naveir Belush Mitzvah. It was the opposite. It was a sin wrapped up and disguised as a mitzvah. But Lahois is the Ella Pitzvah. This is nothing but a rationalization. But Adam Rishon, and Kol Otsim Madregis Kedushaso, is possible. And Adam Rishon, despite all of his greatness, was Nispata, was seduced, was pulled into this, was persuaded. To do something that ultimately was a disaster. Okay. All right. So he actually should matter. He's going to go a little bit further. Let's see. Okay. He's still going to try some more. But that's where we are at this point. At this point, this is where we're at. Adam's mistake was based on what was not despite his greatness, was because of his greatness. Yes. Yeah, this all happened within hours of his creation. Everything happened on day, not day one, but day six. It all happened on day six. But what he told us, right, of his existence, yeah, on his birthday, yeah. It's on his birthday. So you know, everything was, but we have to understand that everything was highly compressed on that day. What Rav Dessler told us was that that Adam Rishon was created on that day. On that day, he was given one mitzvah. And all of the avoda that mankind would ever have to perform throughout all of existence was compressed into that one mitzvah. So, and all of humanity was compressed in that one human being. And all of time was compressed into that one day. So it's a day, but it's not a day. It's a day that includes and incorporates all of reality, all of existence. And had Adam passed the test, we were told, then that would have been it. And it would have been it had he performed that one mitzvah, that would have been the end of Avodah, and it would have gone straight into Shabbos, which that Shabbos would have been the Shabbos that we speak about when we say Harachman Miachileni Liyom Shekulo Shabbos. That we should get to that point of the day that is complete Shabbos. These are Shabbos, we're told, is 1/60th of Olam Haba. But he would have gone into the complete Shabbos of Olam Haba. That would have been the end of mankind's stage of Avoda, of Avoda Shem of working, and would have gone straight into the Olam Haba, the stage of reward. Because he sinned, then the one day became 6,000 years, the one human being became the human beings, the challenges and the mitzvot became the infinite number of mitzvot and challenges that all human beings have through the course of a lifetime, and we contribute, each of us, man became mankind, and all of mankind, over the time of existence, of the existence of mankind, has to ultimately do the work that Adam could have done in that one day.
Do you feel like, and again, sorry, I'm here on lesson number 2 instead of lesson number 1, do you feel like Hashem sort of, this was planned all along, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I guess looking backwards, you know, we see ourselves, even though we're at whatever level, and our previous generations were so much greater. But it sort of seemed like
It's a great question. Did Hashem, was this always His plan? There may be sources that indicate that somebody was sharing that with me, but didn't show me where that Hashem ultimately wants to bring the world to the point where there would be death in the world, which is what Adam brought into the world through the sin. But, let me put it this way. It certainly wasn't that Adam ate from the tree and Hashem said, okay, what do I do now? Okay, and then he scrambled around for plan B.
He was just there like a minute.
Okay, right, I'll take that. But I think we have to look at this, that in a way, it's all the same thing. You know, nothing's really changed because it's man and it's mankind and it's a mitzvah and it's mitzvot and we're all, you know, it's from the perspective of the grand picture, I don't know how much things really changed. It changed very much in terms of our own individual experiences. But in terms of what has to happen with the world, you know, we're told that a thousand years is a day for Hashem. Now, what exactly that means, I don't know exactly what that means, but it does have to do with the fact that the 6 days of creation became 6,000 years for man. And like I said, man became mankind. So in the grand scheme of things, the same thing has to happen. Man/mankind has to bring light to the world and overcome the darkness, overcome the challenges, and bring the world to tikkun. So it was always Tikkun Olam, and it's always man's job to do Tikkun Olam, and man is always going to accomplish Tikkun Olam by overcoming the challenges in the darkness. So is there really a difference whether it's one human being that encompasses all of mankind, or that one human being is transformed to billions of people? It certainly makes a difference for us in terms of our experiences, but in the grand picture, it's just another way of the same plan unfolding. So.
The
Bechira
eventually will get over here, but like,
if,
I mean, it's
kind of
like that's
what it is. Yeah, and we just said, like, you know, the same Bechira, we came out with the word, I think 2 sessions ago, fragmenting, right? So the Bechira became fragmented into billions of Bechiras that have to happen. But it's they're all sparks of the same original Bechira. It's just smaller bits and pieces that the individual human beings that make up the collective mankind that was Adam has to perform over the course of their lives. Okay, so we can get a little bit further into the next step. So, how did Adam get to sin? Achein achar kol zeh. Shana really wrote the next paragraph. That's true. Achein achar kol zeh. After all this, adayin she'ele gedolo omedes lefaneinu. We still have a big question. And we alluded to it earlier. Being that ishim, Adam ayikodim achet yosh alagam. If man is perfectly yashar, perfectly straight before the chet, Belishum Nakuda shall have to be choshech pnimim, without any inner darkness or confusion. Now, Cain is so, Echaya Efshisha Yitta Taos Kuzos, how did he make this mistake? Halatos Kuzo Yicholov Arak Mastoris or Emes, Akapanim Imashim and Imashim. The only way a mistake like this can happen is if there was some Hastoris Emes, or Emes, some hiding of the light of truth, some kind of veil, some kind of darkness. Even if it's mash and mashu, even if it's to a slight degree, but some kind of film over the light had to be there. Ratzon she'ein lo b'fnim halev lo shayich she'yichas es emes. If there isn't some kind of ratzon, desire in the heart, then the darkness can't be covered up. If the light can't be covered up, sorry, the truth can't be covered up. If it's pure light and there is no darkness, there's no yitzhar in it. If there's no yitzhar in him, then there's only clarity, complete clarity. And if it's complete clarity, then really in terms of Adam's inner reality, what he's asking is Adam is a malach. And if he's a malach, with clarity, he really should not have had the bechir. Where did the bechir present itself? Okay? Where's the darkness that you need for bechir? So it's not exactly the question, but it's kind of that question. And let's see. Ulam kishin samik yosir. But when we look in this more deeply, because it wasn't deep enough until now, in this Amek Yosef, when you get into this more deeply, Nira will see Shabbat Mukhrach Shiyeshnam Shnei Hasteir Mukhrachim Ba'adam B'mashu Adam. We'll see with clarity, and we'll see that it's clear, and it has to be, by definition, that there are two Hasteir Mukhrachim, there are two necessary veils, if you will. Two necessary contributors to our confusion that are part of the human condition by definition. Omitzirufam, and when you put these two sources of darkness, of Hester together, it's possible for a sin like this to develop, even with Adam Rishon before the sin. Vinivayram, let's explain. Okay, so now, this is a very deep idea, and he said it's going to be deep. But we've touched on this in at least one other piece from Dessler over the time that we've been together. Considering what we said before, that creation is synonymous with Hashem's hiding, it's synonymous with darkness. It, by definition, follows that everything created lives in darkness, by definition. Because that's the meaning of being created. We had this deep idea earlier, when Moshe wants to see Hashem, right? And Hashem says, "Kilo yireini Adam v'chai," man cannot see me and live. So Rav Dessler seemed to explain it by not that the, you know, we tend to think that the knowledge of seeing Hashem or the experience of seeing Hashem would be so overwhelming that it would kill him. No. If you see Hashem, Moshe, if you see Hashem, then you'll see that you don't exist. Our existence requires us to have a certain amount of darkness. Because if we see Hashem with clarity, we see ultimately only Hashem exists. Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, there's Ein Ego Vado, there's nothing else besides Hashem. And the perception of our own reality is made possible by Hashem hiding that ultimate truth from us. Right? It's something we have to process. But that we can only exist if we don't see Hashem. All right? If we see Hashem, then we see that there's only Hashem is real. We are only real as long as we don't have full clarity of ultimate reality. Right? So creation, being a created creature, no matter how high of a spiritual level you are, you can be Adam, or you can even be a Malach. You have some darkness in your life. Because if you exist, if you perceive yourself as existing, it means you have some darkness. You have some lack of clarity. Okay? So, that's the idea. So, let's see. Hekol Nivru, every creation, lo yimolet mehesto akapana, cannot escape some level of darkness. Gam b'malachim atzina b'sifrei reish hazin, b'sifrei reish hazin, it is a free, it's like a medrash, says the beginning of hazinu, even malachim, sheesh le b'chinas guf, malachim have a body. Now, a little kind of desk in parentheses defines body. Pirish meaning hester. Body means that Hashem is hidden. Ella accepts, says the Medrash, and nafsham v'gufam and Hashemayim. Both the souls and the bodies are heavenly. What does that mean? Pirish means shester in dark mode. That the level of darkness in the reality is very, very minimal. V'hu, and that is to say, shebiyosam nivram, because they're created, creation means that they perceive themselves, Magishim is Atman, they perceive themselves as something separate from Hashem. That's what it means to exist. To exist means to perceive yourself as having some kind of independent existence. If a Mal perceives its own existence, that hides from them the ultimate truth of Hashem's oneness that incorporates everything. That means that there's nothing other than Hashem. Sorry, Zeh Hester Risha Shnimta Gamba Adam Mechus. This is the first darkness that by definition has to exist in Adam. You're asking, Adam didn't have a Yetzirah. True, he didn't have a Yetzirah, but he had a Guf. And he had existence. He's created. And by being created, it means by definition that he does not have total clarity. Not because there's a Yetzirah telling him anything. It's because he doesn't perceive ultimate reality. Because if he perceives ultimate reality, that would be a contradiction to his own existence. Yes?
So I have a question. You're talking earlier about removing the veil and that the goal is to have tikkun.
Right.
Sort of, is there, can we ever, it seems like from this, we can't really ever get there.
The ultimate is impossible. Fully reigning other vechay, like Moshe said. Your man cannot see me and live. You can't pull away that last veil.
And so, you know, in the days of Mashiach, is that going to change, or we're still just going to be a lot closer to it, but we're just never going to get there because of the structure of our...
Right, we'll be closer to it, but in a way that still allows it to exist, right? So Mashiach comes, Kimbala or his day, there'll be more wisdom, more knowledge, more clarity. But, you know, how much clarity and how much do we pull away? You know, Rav Dessler talks about the daughter of Chanina ben Dosa, I think it was, right? Chanina ben Dosa's daughter did not have oil to light the Shabbos candle. So her father said, it's not a problem. You have vinegar, right? Vinegar. Mishamul Shemesh Yalik Yom Lachom Shyalik. The one who says that oil should burn, well, tell vinegar to burn, right? Tell vinegar to burn. So I guess what? You know, they use vinegar and the vinegar burned. Now, was that a miracle? For us, that would be a miracle. And that's why I don't want to speak to anybody definitively, but it's probably not going to work for any of us. Right? Probably not going to work for any of us. Maybe yes, you know, I don't know, but probably not. Now, the reason is because if it works for us, we'll say, wow. It's a miracle. It's an ace. Rechanim does not say it was an ace. For him, it was obvious. Hashem could do this. Hashem could do that. It's all the same. We talk about this another. Either everything's an ace or nothing's an ace. But he sees it all the same. Hashem makes oil burn. He can make vinegar burn. We tend to think because oil always burns and vinegar doesn't always burn, so that repetition of what we call laws of nature and science convinces us that's the way it has to be. He never bought into that, or he grew beyond that. That there's nothing that has to be. Everything's only because Hashem makes it happen, right? So the vinegar burn. But here's the question: If that's the case, why do you need vinegar? Why do you need vinegar? He's a human being. That's how far it went. That's how far it went. So we can go a lot, lot further than we are. But ultimately, to take it, you know, there's a limit. As human beings, we have limits.
So it's not really the same time. If something exists, then they still have a little bit of avail, right? So cause it's not a matter of being, having a physicality because of the mouth that we have. Yeah, it's
existence. It's existence. But if a malach that doesn't have physicality, but it's his existence somehow prevents him from seeing complete clarity because his existence is a contradiction of that complete clarity, how much more so having a physical existence distances us a great deal from that kind of clarity and allows the potential for darkness and confusion. So he told us that there's two things that contribute to Adam's confusion. One is his own existence, and we'll stop with that, and we'll continue next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the fact that he explains